listening to realclearduff.com.
We're on Chav Chesem at Beis, the fourth last word on the page where it says, Ad kan lo pligi. Yesterday we learned the Mishnah which taught us that sometimes it's in the owner's best interest to sell a lost object and set aside the money and return that to him should he come and claim his lost object and provide the siman. That is, let's say, for example, a person found an animal that's costly to maintain, so that by the time he claims the lost animal, after having to compensate the finder for his expenses, there won't be much of the value of the asset left. So in that kind of situation, the finder should sell the asset and set aside the money and return that to the owner once he claims it. And the Mishnah posed the question of Mayehi Bedamim. What's the status of that money while the finder is waiting for the owner to claim it? So the Mishnah brought a dispute about this, with Rabbi Tarfon saying that the finder may use the money for himself, and he just owes that amount to the owner whenever he claims it. And therefore, because the finder has a right to use this money, he is therefore fully responsible for it. That is, if the money gets lost, the finder will be judged as a shomer sachar, as a paid watchman, whereby the halach is he's chayav for aveda. If it's lost, he has to compensate the owner. Whereas Rabbi Akiva said, the finder is not allowed to touch the money. And therefore, being that the finder is in effect an unpaid watchman, he therefore has a more lenient status, such that if the money was lost and it wasn't due to the finder's negligence, he would not have to pay that money back. So our Gemara today begins with an inference from this dispute. That is, that apparently, the Gemara observes, Ad kan lo pligi. Rabbi Tarfon and Rabbi Akiva only argue about this question about whether the finder is responsible should the money get lost, continuing to Chav Tesem et Aleph, Ela kishenishtamesh bohen. Only with respect to this question about whether the finder had a right to use the money, use the proceeds, and that therefore he's a shomer sachar. That's the only question they're arguing about. Avelo nishtamesh bohen. But aside from this question of perhaps the finder can use the money, apparently all opinions of the Mishnah agree that he mavdu pater, that if the finder would lose this property that he found, and he would be exempt. So in other words, let's talk about a case where the finder didn't sell the found object. There was no reason to sell it, so he was just waiting with this object for the owner to claim it, in which case everybody agrees that the finder can't go and use the lost object for himself. Our mission implies that all Tanaim agree in that situation, that the halach is that we judge the finder as a shomer chinam, he's watching this person's property for free, and therefore he has the lenient halacha that if he loses it, it wasn't because of his negligence, he will be exempt. So the Gemara points out, lema tahavi tiyufta de Rav Yosef. This appears to be a refutation of Rav Yosef's opinion, which we find in the following dispute, the Itmar, was stated, Shomer Aveda, when he was watching an Aveda that he found, Rabba Omar Keshomer Chinam. Rabba says, the finder has a status of a Shomer Chinam, is an unpaid watchman, and therefore he's putter for Aveda. If he loses it and it wasn't his own negligence, he's exempt. Rav Yosef Omar Keshomer Sachar. Rav Yosef claims that no, when he finds a lost object, and now his responsibility to watch it, is judged as a Shomer Sachar. He's a paid watchman. Why is he like a paid watchman? So if Yosef argues, somebody who finds a lost object and becomes obligated in the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda receives a benefit, which is that now that he's preoccupied with this mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda, he'll be exempt from a different mitzvah. Like let's say an ani comes knocking at the door for some bread. This person will be exempt from having to go and deal with this other mitzvah that came up. He's already preoccupied with this mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda. So that's considered a real benefit. And therefore, who finds an Aveda is judged as a Shomer Sachar. And consequently, his responsibility level goes up. And he is responsible for Aveda. If he loses it, then he'll have to compensate the owner. So the Gemara points out that it appears that all the Tanaim of our Mishnah hold that one who finds an Aveda is actually a Shomer Chinam. Because again, the only reason that Rabbi Tarfon, in the Mishnah's case, where he had sold the Aveda for money, why Rabbi Tarfon says he's a Shomer Sachar, is because of the benefit of being able to use the money. implies that without that benefit, if it's just a regular case of where the original object is still here, then all opinions would agree that one who finds an aveda is a shomer chinam, he's working for free, and would therefore be pater from aveda, which is not like Rav Yosef said. The Gemara responds for Rav Yosef, Amar lach Rav Yosef, Rav Yosef could say to you that really, b'gineva v'aveda, the kuliyama lo pligi dechayiv. All the Tanoim agree with my position that anyone who finds an aveda is like a shomer sachar and is therefore liable for gineva and aveda. If the lost object is stolen or lost, the shomer aveda will be responsible for that. Rav Yosef proposes a totally different reading of the dispute in our Mishnah, Bitar from Rabbi Akiva. And that is, he says, ki pligi, what are they arguing about? Be'onsin de shoel. These Tanayim are discussing, in this case where the finder had to sell the lost object, but let's say a total freak accident happened. A bolt of lightning struck the money and destroyed it. So in other words, something that's, you know, clearly beyond the person's control and something totally unexpected happened to destroy the money. Now we know that the halacha is in the case of a shoel, if somebody borrows property or money, the halacha is that essentially no matter what happens to the borrowed item, the shoel will be chayiv to give it back. Even if a total freak accident occurred, the shoel will have to compensate the owner. For when somebody borrows something, the agreement is, no matter what happens, the shoel will have to compensate the owner. Rabbi Tarfon and Rabbi Akiva are discussing the possibility that somebody who finds a lost object then sells it has a legal status that's as strict as a shoel, so that he's liable no matter what. What are the opinions? Rabbi Tarfon argues like this, that since Shorulei Rabbanan, Lishtimushe Begavayhu, being that the rabbis did say, that in exchange for the finder of the lost object going and, you know, selling it and going to that trouble, the rabbi said that the finder can use the money, therefore, v'havile shoel alayhu. Mitarfin therefore argues that there is one downside to this benefit, which is that now the finder has a status of a shoel with respect to that money, so that even if a freak accident later occurred and the money was destroyed, the halacha is, and the finder will have to compensate the owner. That's what Rabbi Tarfon is saying in our Mishnah. Whereas Rabbi Akiva holds that no, lo shorulei rabbanan lishtimushi begavayo. The rabbis issued no such dispensation to allow the finder to use the money. He's not allowed to use the money. He has to set it aside and wait for the owner to claim it. Hilkach lo havi shoel alayo. Therefore, of course, the finder is not considered a shoel. He's not allowed to use the money. But the point again is, he is still considered a shomer sachar, for no matter what the lost object is, even if he didn't sell it, the fact is that the finder receives the benefit of osik b'mitzvah patim min mitzvah, since he's preoccupied with this mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda. He's exempt from a different mitzvah. He doesn't have to go and give tzedakah now, for example. So because of that benefit, he is deemed a shomer sachar, of Yosef would say, according to everybody, and as such, if it wasn't a freak accident, the money was lost or stolen. He wasn't totally negligent, but he maybe could have watched it better. Says Rav Yosef, everybody agrees that as far as that, he is liable because he's judged like a shomer sachar. That's how Rav Yosef would interpret the Mishnah. But the Gemara questions this interpretation and points out that ihachi, if so, if that's the debate in our Mishnah, lefichach di omer Rabbi Akiva lomali. Why did Rabbi Akiva need to mention this lefichach phrase whatsoever? Now that phrase seems totally superfluous. The Gemara further explains the question, the problem here, which is, very good if you interpret the Mishnah like we originally did. The issue here, Rabbi Tarfon and Rabbi Akiva are arguing about, is whether the finder who sells the Aveda becomes a Shomer Sachar because he's allowed to use the money and therefore he'd be liable if it got stolen or lost. If that's how we read the Mishnah, Hainu Diktani Rabbi Akiva Omer Lo Yishtamish Bahen, we perfectly well understand where Rabbi Akiva needed to spell out, since I'm saying that the finder cannot use this money, Lefichach, therefore, Rabbi Akiva said, Imavdu Eino Chayav Be'achu Yusa. If the money is later lost, the finder isn't responsible. He doesn't have to compensate the owner. Rabbi Akiva needed to spell that out for us. For if he didn't, Salkit Daita Chamin, I might have said, that even though the finder does not have this benefit that he can use the money, the proceeds from selling the lost object, but still perhaps a shomer sachar havi. Perhaps he's still called, considered a shomer sachar kidder of Yosef, as Rav Yosef suggests, because Rav Yosef argues he still has the benefit of ha'osek b'mitzvah pater min ha'mitzvah. He's preoccupied with this mitzvah, so he's exempt from a different mitzvah. And if that were true, b'geneva ve'aveda mechayef, the finder actually would still be liable for geneva aveda. So, k'mash melan lefichach. That's why Rabbi Akiva took pains to state this phrase beginning with lefichach, meaning that in fact the way it works is hashta de amar lo yishtamish bahen. Now that you, Rabbi Akiva, are saying that the finder does not have the benefit of being allowed to use the money if he sells the lost object, now that that benefit is off the table, shomer sachar lo havi is not going to be considered a shomer sachar, and hence velo mechay begineva v'aveda, you will not be liable if it's lost or stolen, because the Mishnah wants to teach us the fact that when preoccupied with this mitzvah, he'll be exempt from a different mitzvah. That's not considered a benefit that will put him in the category of a shomer sachar. Nope, he's considered a shomer chinam. So, in brief, if you say not like Rav Yosef, then we understand exactly the point being made with the phrase of lefichach. Elei amart, but if you say like Rav Yosef, that beginneva v'aveda, the kuliyam lopligi dechayev, that really everybody agrees, even Rabbi Akiva, that if the lost object is lost or stolen, the finder is liable, because he's definitely considered a shomer sachar. And rather, what's the point of contention here, kipligi beons in the shoel, about whether the finder might even be liable for a total freak accident, something that only a shoel, a borrower, is liable for? If that's what's going on here, my lefichach the Rabbi Akiva, why is the Mishnah have to bother with stating this point, the lefichach the Rabbi Akiva? Says the Gemara, hachi mi boile le misna. This is how the Mishnah should have presented Rabbi Akiva's opinion. Rabbi Akiva omer lo yishtamish bahen. Rabbi Akiva says, if the finder has to sell the lost object, he's not allowed to use the money. And the Mishnah should have stopped there. V'ana yedana. I would have understood myself that obviously the kivin de lo yishtamish bahen, and if the Rabbanan deny the finder the right to use that money, of course, obviously, lav shoel havi, obviously you're not going to call him a borrower, and as such, ve'no chayiv v'yachu yusan, obviously, therefore, he will not have the liability of a shoel, who is liable even for a freak accident. Of course, that's true. So the question is, lefichach, the Rabbi Akiva lamali, why do I need this whole line, the lefichach? It seems to be stating the obvious. The Gemara answers that it's true. Technically, we don't need the lefichach of Rabbi Akiva, so why did the Mishnah mention it? Answers the Gemara, Mishum lefichach de Rabbi Tarfon. Just for the sake of symmetry, to conform with the language the Mishnah uses in Rabbi Tarfon, where the Mishnah spells out, according to Yosef's reading, that as a result of the fact that the rabbis grant the finder the right to use the money, therefore, says the Mishnah, he is considered a shoel, who is liable even for onsin. So in Rabbi Tarfon we say lefichach, so we say lefichach in Rabbi Akiva too. The Gemara clarifies further, ulefichach de Rabbi Tarfon lamali. We can't just blame the lefichach of Rabbi Akiva on the lefichach of Rabbi Tarfon. Why do we need the lefichach of Rabbi Tarfon? Why is that line, you know, clearly stating a novelty? The Gemara says, here's how. Hachikamar, for here's what the Mishnah is saying in Rabbi Tarfon's opinion. Kivin desharulei rabbanan lishtemushe bigavayu. Since the rabbis did grant the right to the finder to use that money that he received for selling the lost object, which is Rabbi Tarfon's view, says the Mishnah, a big chiddush, that because of that right, command the ishtamish begavaihu dami, it says if he's actually borrowed the money, he's actually, you know, taken out a loan here, chosen to use it to spend it on whatever he wants, and v'chayiv bi'achri yusan, and as a result, he is responsible no matter what happens, even if a total ones, a complete accident occurs, he will be responsible for it. And clearly, that statement of lefichach is needed. That is not an obvious point at all, that as a result of this right to use it that the rabbis gave him, that he's actually considered like a shoel. So that lefichach clearly is necessary. So again, once we have that lefichach, the Mishnah patterns will be achieved in the same way with the language of lefichach. The Gemara now questions Rabbi Yosef's interpretation from a different angle, and that is, the Gemara points out, V'ha avdu ketani. How can you say that the Mishnah here is discussing a total freak accident, ones, when the word the Mishnah uses is avdu? Recall, the Mishnah said, you know, based on, let's say, Rabbi Tarfon's view that he's allowed to use the money, said the Mishnah, lefichach, therefore, if it was avdu, if the money was lost, the finder is responsible. How does this word avdu, lost, imply a total ones, a complete accident, as Rav Yosef suggests? Turning to Amid Beis, the Gemara says, yes, we could read the Mishnah that way. Okay, the Rabbah, just as Rabbah does in a similar discussion that we'll see about later on Nun Ches, the Amar Rabbah, Rabbah there will suggest that the term Nignevu, stolen, means ballistim mizuyin, armed robbers. And the term avdu there means shetavas finasa biyam, it was lost. Is specifically referring to where it was lost through a total accident out of the person's control. His ship sank at sea. So we could say the same thing over here. And when our Mishnah uses the word avdu, it means it was a total ones. It was an accident. And yet, according to Rabbi Tarfon, the finder is liable because the right the rabbis granted him to use the money gives him a status of a shoel. And the Gemara rules the halacha. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel. Halacha ke Rabbi Tarfon. Now, halacha follows Rabbi Tarfon. So that means if a finder finds a lost object and then has to sell it because it's going to be too expensive to keep, the halacha is he's considered like a shoel regarding the money, so that no matter what happens, he'll be obligated to compensate the owner once he comes forward and provides the siman. The Gemara brings an actual case. Once, Biyad Chava, Havi Lehaneu Zuzi Diyasmi. Chava was holding on to some money that belonged to some orphans. He was watching the money for them until they grew up, able to manage the money on their own. Also, the Kamei, the Rav Yosef, he came to Rav Yosef, Amrlei, and asked him, "Ma'ul ishtemushi begavayu? What is the halacha as far as whether I have a right to use the money, or borrow the money for myself, while I'm holding on to it for the orphans? And of course, I'll have to compensate him for the full amount once the money is due to them." Amrlei, Rav Yosef answered by invoking the ruling that the Gemara just said, "Hachiyam Rav Yehuda Mer Shmuel." Rabbi Mishmuel said, Allah ka Rabbi Tarfon. And Allah is like Rabbi Tarfon of our Mishnah, who said that by a finder, who is essentially a shomer over what he finds, sells the lost object, that Allah is he may use the money in the meantime. However, the Gemara questions the application of this ruling to this case. For Amalei Abaye, Abaye said to Rav Yosef, and I, Velav Itmala, wasn't it stated regarding this ruling, the number of Chelbam Rav Huna, Chalbus and the name Rav Huna had lo shanu ela b'dimei aveda. They only taught this ruling that the finder may use the money, the proceeds from the aveda he sold, specifically in this case where we're talking about where you had to sell the original lost object for money. In that case, the rabbis granted the finder the right to use the money for himself if he wants to. Ho of a tarachba, because he had to go to the trouble of selling the lost object, because that's in the owner's best interest. So for his troubles, the Rabbanan said he could use the money if he wants. Avo ma'os aveda, but where let's say the original thing that the finder found was some lost money, so therefore the lo tarachba, he didn't go to any particular tircha to go and sell something on behalf of the owner. In that situation, if Chel Botan, the name of Rav Huna, lo, the rabbis never granted the finder the right to use the money. And so Abaye concludes, Vahani, these coins that Rachva is watching for the Yisomim, Ma'os Aveda Damu. This is a case that's comparable to somebody who finds some money. But the point is, he didn't go to the specific trouble of selling the property on behalf of the owner. Therefore, he has no right to use the money. So Amalei of Yosef said to Rachva Zil, go, I can't give you permission to use the money. For Loshav Kuli the Ishrilach, they don't let me give you this permission. They're challenging the lenient ruling I want to give you, so you should be on your way. I can't help you. I can't allow you to use this money. The next Mishnah discusses some halachas of how the finder is required to, you know, properly take care of the lost property that he's watching on behalf of the owner. The Mishnah says, if Matzah Svarim, if he found some svarim, some books. Now books, in the time of the Mishnah, does not refer to books like we have nowadays. Svarim in those days were all in the klaf format. They were on a scroll, like our Sifrei Torah. So the halacha is if somebody found such a sefer, He has to read from them once every 30 days to air them out, because the way Svarim were made back then, if you left it unused for too long, it would begin to decay. So every 30 days, you should open up the scroll, go through it, read it, and then put it back. The Mishnah continues, V'im'eni yodea likros. Let's say the finder doesn't know how to read, so then Golan, you should simply roll the sefer from beginning to end and air it out that way. The Mishnah says, Avalo yilmod bahen batchila. The finder should not learn from the sefer if he's learning this material for the first time, because then he's going to sit there studying it. It's going to be open for a long time, and in the course of that, he's going to pull on it and things like that, and he might ruin the sefer. So you shouldn't learn from the found sefer for the first time. V'lo yikar acher imo. Nor should he learn from the sefer with the chavrusa, because then they're going to get up to a certain passage, they're both going to struggle to read it, they're going to pull the sefer from each other, and that might damage it, so don't learn from it with the chavrusa. Mishnah continues, if matzach sus, somebody found a garment, the halach is menara echad l'shloshim yom, you should shake it out every 30 days, and v'shotcha l'tzarcha, and spread it out as needed. So similar idea to the sefer, you got to air it out, so it shouldn't decay, you might get moths, problems like that. So air out the bag at every 30 days. Avalo l'chvodo. But the finder cannot spread out the garment for his own covet, for his honor. You know, spread it out, hang it up as a decoration for his own benefit. Mishnah continues, if he found clay kesef or clay nechoshes, silver or copper utensils, halach is mishtamish b'hen litzarchan, should use them as needed. Rashi mentions that the Gemara later will tell us that the finder is required to safely store the lost object he finds, make sure it doesn't get stolen. And the way people would keep things safe in those times was by burying it. So these silver and copper utensils will have been buried. So Mishnah is saying if you leave it buried too long, they could decay. Therefore, dig them up every so often and use them so they shouldn't get ruined. Avalo l'shachkan. But don't use them excessively to the point where you might wear them down. Mishnah continues, klei zav uklei zchuches. If you found either gold or glass kalim, lo yiga bahena shiyava liyo. Those you should simply not touch until Eliyahu comes and identifies the owner. If you have to wait that long, then so be it. And the point is that the gold and glass are not going to rust or get ruined underground, so just leave it there. Especially by the glass, it's fragile, so just don't touch it until the owner comes forward, or until Mashiach identifies the owner. And the Mishnah concludes with another halacha, which is matzah sack or kupa. Say somebody found a lost sack or a box, or the cold dover she'in darko lita, or anything that it would be not his way, it would be beneath his dignity to go and pick that up and bring it somewhere safe. Now, lacha is harezeh lo yitol. He's not required to pick it up. So the Mishnah here teaches that there's an exemption from Hashavas Aveda where picking up the Aveda would be beneath the dignity of the person who finds it. The Gemara will learn this from a drasha. The Torah says, v'salamta. So we read the word as also meant in the positive sense. Sometimes you're supposed to be visalamta. Sometimes you should ignore an aveda, namely where it would be beneath the person's honor. And the rule of thumb here is that if it was his own property, he really and truly would not pick it up because it would be degrading for him to do so. Then there's an exemption for picking up someone else's property. The Gemara begins with a ruling. Amar Shmuel. Shmuel said, the halacha is, Hamotzei tefillin meshuk. Somebody found some tefillin that had been lost in the shuk. Sham de mehenu manichon la'altar. The lach is, you have them assessed, you can sell them immediately. And he'll set aside the money for whenever the owner comes forward with the simon about the tefillin, he'll give him that money so he can purchase new tefillin with it. Masiv Ravina Ravina challenged Shmuel's ruling from our Mishnah, which taught us the halach of matzah svarim karban echad l'shloshim yom. The Mishnah explained if somebody found a sefer, and you should read it every 30 days to air it out. Otherwise, if you can't read, and roll it from beginning to end to air it out. So Ravina points out, the Mishnah is saying, you should do things to maintain the found property. The Mishnah does not say that you should simply sell the sefer. So how could Shmuel say that if you find some tefillin, you just sell it? From our Mishnah, we see that no, you should hold on to the object and just take care of it until the owner comes forward. The Gemara answers, Amar Abaye, Abaye explained it. Tefillin bar bechavu mishkach shchichi. Tefillin are readily available. Abaye mentions you can go to the bar chavu store. He sells tefillin. So being that tefillin are readily available, there's no point of imposing on the finder to keep the tefillin and take care of them. Rather, let him just sell them and give the money to the owner once he comes forward. As opposed to Sfarim lo shchichi. Sfarim were not nearly as available. So the owner might not be so happy if the finder went and sold his sefer. Therefore, the finder is required to keep it and take care of it until the owner comes forward. This is similar to the case we learned about yesterday, where you find somebody's animal, where the halacha is you don't sell the animal right away. If possible, if practical, you do keep it and take care of it, because the owner might have trained this animal, he's used to this animal already, he does what he specifically wants it to do, and therefore it'll be to his detriment if you go and sell it. And therefore, when practical, we do require the finder to keep the animal for a certain period of time and wait for the owner to claim it before he goes and sells it. The Gemara brings a related braisa, Tan Rabbanan. Rabbanan Tanei braisa, that the halacha is Hashoel Sefer Torah Mechaveiro. If somebody borrows a Sefer Torah from his friend, he's not allowed to lend it to somebody else. For the lender never granted you permission to do that. The braisa continues, Poscho Vikariba, the borrower can open the Sefer Torah and read from it, Ubilvad Shalo Yilmod Bo Batchilo. Provide that he doesn't use the Sefer Torah to learn something from it for the first time. If you can't assume that the lender agreed that the borrower be allowed to, study the Sefer Torah in depth, rather it could be he just lent it out for the borrower to learn from in a cursory manner, so he can't go and start studying it and learning things for the first time from it. Unless, of course, he specifically gave you permission to do that. The Braisa continues, Bechein, similarly, a mafkid Sefer Torah, it's a chaver, somebody left Sefer Torah by his friend as a pikadan. Could you watch my Sefer Torah for me? Says the Braisa, the halacha is gololol kol shnei masr chodesh. It is the nifkad's responsibility, the person it was deposited by, it's his responsibility to read it at least every 12 months, to air it out. The Braisa continues, poscho v'korei bo, if the nifkad opened the Sefer Torah and read from it, im bishvilo psacho aser. If he did so for his own benefit, he simply opened it for himself to read, aser, that is not allowed. The Braisa continues, Sumchas Omer, Sumchas says, Bechadash menu Sefer Torah shloshim yom. He should read it every 30 days. B'yashem, an older Sefer Torah, shnei masr chodesh. Once every 12 months is fine for an older Sefer Torah. Apparently the newer ones would be more subject to things like decay. The Braisa brings a third opinion, that Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Omer, echad zeh, shnei masr chodesh. Whether it's an old Sefer Torah or a new Sefer Torah, either way, once every 12 months is the frequency that the Shomer, the Nifkad, must read it, must roll through the whole thing. And the Gemara will know that this opinion seems identical to the first opinion. The Gemara now goes through the Braisa now more thoroughly. Amar Mar, the Braisa had said, Ashoel Sefer Torah mechaveiro harei zeh lo yishilenu la'acher. Somebody who borrowed a Sefer Torah cannot lend it to somebody else. The Gemara wonders, my Irya Sefer Torah, why is the Braisa teaching this specifically by a Sefer Torah that's borrowed? Why, this halacha, zafilu kol mili nami, applies to anything that's borrowed. The Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, for we have a statement of Rish Lakish in Gittin, who comments on a Mishnah there, and Rish Lakish says, Kan Shana Rabbi, here in this Mishnah Rabbi is teaching us, that the halacha is, Ein HaShoel Rashai, LaHashiel, a borrower is not allowed to go and lend out the thing he borrowed. Nor may a renter go ahead and rent out the thing he rented that's not included in the agreement. Therefore, the Gemara wonders, why does the Braisa give us the impression that this halacha is specific to a Sefer Torah? It's true by anything that's borrowed. The Gemara answers, the Tana is not saying this is the halacha specifically by a Sefer Torah. It's coming to teach that this is the halacha even by a Sefer Torah. As the Gemara says, Sefer Torah, it's Trichalei. The Tana specifically wanted to talk about this halacha by a Sefer Torah. For if it didn't, Mahud the same, you might have said, by Sefer Torah, it's okay. If you borrow a Sefer Torah, you can lend it to somebody else. And the argument would be, Nichalei le'inish the te'avid mitzvah b'memone. That, what do you mean, a person prefers that someone do a mitzvah with his property? Generally speaking, the average person would be very happy if you use this thing to do a mitzvah, because that means he was part of the mitzvah, so as long as he borrowed in a way that you're not damaging his property, presumably a person would be okay with that. So based on that, I would say, okay, no problem. The Shoal, if he borrows a Sefer Torah, can be mashal, can lend it out to somebody else. So Kamash Malan, the Brisa therefore teaches us that not true. You can't lend out the Sefer Torah, even though the other person would be doing a mitzvah at this person's property. Still, you would need his explicit permission because the Sefer Torah is a very delicate thing. And maybe that other person will rip it or damage it in some way if he uses it. So you can't lend it to another person without the owner's permission. The Brisa then said the words, Poscho v'karibo, if you borrow Sefer Torah, guess what? You're allowed to open it and read from it. The Gemara wonders, Pshita, obviously you can read from it. Why else did he borrow from him? Obviously, to read from it. The Gemara answer is that this phrase in and of itself is not stating any novelty. Sefer Shrichale, it's just setting up for the next point, which is Ubilvad Shalei Yilmud Bobitchilo. And the Brisa goes on to explain that the borrower may lean from the Sefer Torah as long as he's not reading with someone else. For in that situation, it could lead to a damage to the Sefer Torah. The Brisa then continued and said, V'cheina mafkid Sefer Torah etzel chaver. If somebody left the Sefer Torah by somebody to watch, halacha is the watchman, the nifkad, has to take care of it and go lo shnei matzor chodesh. The first opinion says he has to roll through it every 12 months to air it out. And poscho v'karebo. Then the Brisa said the words, you can open it up and read from it. So it sounds like whenever he wants, whenever he feels like, he can read from the Sefer Torah. The Gemara wonders, why is he allowed to do that? My avidite gabe. What business does he have going and using the Sefer Torah for himself? He wasn't lent the Sefer Torah for his own personal use. He was given the Sefer Torah as a pikadon to watch it, to take care of it. So why should he be able to read it for his own personal use? So furthermore, the Brisa goes on to seemingly contradict itself. For it says, im b'shvilo p'sacho aser. If the nifkad opens it up to read for himself, that's forbidden. Ha amar the poschel v'kar, but I just said he can open it up and read it, which seems to be saying for himself. So it appears to be a contradiction. The Gemara answers, sachi kamar, this is what the Brisa is really saying. But again, the Brisa starts out that the nifkad should roll through it, read it, to roll through it every 12 months to air it out. And then the Brisa explains like this, im kishuhu golalo, if as he's rolling the Sefer Torah for its benefit, poscho v'karebo, while he's rolling through it, he reads it, he lays the Sefer Torah as he's rolling it to take care of it, mutter, that's perfectly permitted. But im b'shvilo psacho, if his intention initially when he opened it up to roll it was to read it for himself, it's for his own personal benefit, usur, that is not allowed, because he wasn't lent the Sefer Torah for his own personal use. But if as he is maintaining the Sefer Torah, he's rolling through it to air it out, he wants to read from it, no problem at all. The Brisa then brought Sumchas' opinion. Sumchas Omer, b'chadash, by a new Sefer Torah, you have to roll through it shloshim yom every 30 days. B'yashan shnei masr chodesh. By an old one, it's not as subject to decay, so once every 12 months is fine there. Then the Brisa brought that Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Omer, echad zeh shnei masr chodesh. Whether it's an old or new one, once every 12 months is sufficient. So the Gemara asks, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, Hainu Tanakama. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov's opinion appears to be identical with the first opinion. The first opinion also said, you roll it once every 12 months, and he made no distinction between an old one or a new one. So it appears that Tanakama equals Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. So how do we understand this? The Gemara answers, Ela Ema, rather, amend the Brisa as follows, that really Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Omer, the text should say like this. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov says, Echad zeh ve'echad zeh shloshim yom. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov introduces a third position, that really, whether it's an old Sefer Torah or a new Sefer Torah, you have to roll through the entire thing to air it out once every 30 days. And Rashi points out, the Tan of our Mishnah is going with this position. For our Mishnah states, you roll through it every 30 days, and it doesn't make any distinction between an old or a new one. So we see that our Mishnah is going like this revised opinion of Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. Now, our Mishnah said that regarding somebody who finds a sefer, that he should roll through it to air it out every 30 days, of a lo yilmod bo batchila. You shouldn't learn from it. You shouldn't go and study from the Sefer Torah if it's the first time you're studying it, so you can't go through it quickly. Below Yikra Achimah, nor should you read from the Sefer Torah with somebody else. Because you might both pull on it to, you know, see the section they want to read, and that might damage the Sefer. The Gemara asks, Raminu, contrast the Armishna with the following Brisa, which says, Lo Yikra Parsha V'Yishna, when reading through a sefer that somebody found to air it out, he shouldn't review a section. Just read it once. Go through it, you know, quickly, and don't reread it. V'lo yikra bo parsha v'yitargim, nor should you sit there and study it and translate each pasuk. The issue is, if you get too into it, you might damage it. V'lo yiftach bo yoser migimel dafin, nor should you open it to more than three columns at a time. Don't pull it that open. V'lo yikra bo shlosha b'nei adam mikrach echad. Nor can you have three people reading from the same sefer at once. So it's this last line that presents a problem, a apparent contradiction to our Mishnah, because it implies Hashnayim Korin. But two people reading at once, the Braisa seems to be saying, is perfectly fine. It's not like our Mishnah, which forbids even just two people. The Gemara answers, Amar Abai, and by answers, Lokash, it's not a problem. For Khan, here in our Mishnah, the Mishnah is referring to where these two people want to read b'inyan echa. They want to read the same inyan. They're looking at the same section in the Sefer Torah. So in that scenario, they might each pull the Sefer Torah towards them to get a better look at this section, which might damage the Sefer. Kan b'shnei inyanim. Whereas the Braisa is talking about where the individuals want to read different sections, meaning they're in different columns on the page that's open. You can open to two columns. So we're not worried that they're going to pull it in their direction because they're each reading from different columns. But if it's three people, then by definition, you're going to have two people in the same section, so that could create a problem. They could be pulling it towards each other and damage it. So therefore, there's no contradiction between our Mishnah and this Braisa. The Mishnah then talked about if, let's say, you found a garment, you should shake it out every 30 days. The Gemara asks, Lememra de Nior Malila, is this to say that shaking out a garment is good for it? But I, Vehom, Rabbi Yochanan said, following line, said, Mishieshlo gardi uman betoch beso. If you're fabulously wealthy, so if you're your own professional in-house tailor, and so you don't care about wasting clothing, because you could just snap your fingers and have the in-house tailor make you a new garment, so then go ahead and be yenayir chsuso b'chol yom. You could shake out your garments. Do that as much as you want, because what difference does it make to you if you destroy your garments or just get a new one made? So with a hint of sarcasm, clearly Rabbi Yochanan is saying it's bad for garments to shake them out. So how can the Mishnah say that one should take care of a lost garment by shaking it out? The Gemara answers, Arbi, they said, B'chol yom kashila. If we look carefully at Rabbi Yochanan's words, he's talking about doing it every day. Doing it every day will be detrimental to it. Echel l'shloshim yom malila. But the rate that our Mishnah says, shake it out every 30 days, is good for the garment. Or if you want, you could say that lokash, it's not a contradiction. For ha bechat, our Mishnah is referring to having one person shake it out. V'ha betray. Yochanan is talking about having more than one person, two or more people, shake out one garment. That will damage the garment. Or if you want, you could say that lokash, it's not a problem. For ha biyada, our Mishnah is referring to shaking it out by hand. V'ha bechutcher. Yochanan is talking about the practice of shaking out the garment, like beating it with a stick. That Rabbi Yochanan is saying damages the garment. Or if you want, you could say, Lokash is not a problem. Had the Amra. Rabbi Yochanan refers to a wool garment, which will be damaged if you shake it out. Had the Kisna, whereas our Mishnah is referring to a linen garment, which is tougher and so won't be ruined if you shake it out. And so Rashi reads the answer. Other Rishonim have it just the opposite, that the linen is the more vulnerable kind of garment. So having mentioned this statement of Rabbi Yochanan, the Gemara brings another statement of his. Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan said, "Kasa de charshin velo kasa de poshrin." Better that a person should drink a cup prepared, some potion prepared by some sorcerers. Who knows what they put together there? Better to drink that than kasa de poshrin, than a cup of lukewarm water. Rabbi Yochanan is saying that lukewarm water could be very dangerous to one's health. However, the Gemara makes several qualifications. First of all, v'lo amarin elo b'klei matachos. Lukewarm water is only dangerous if it's in a metal kli, avo b'kli cheres, but if it's in an earthenware utensil, les lamba, then that's fine. And a b'klei matachos nami, even in a metal kli, lo amarin elo de lo tzvitz. It's only dangerous if the water wasn't brought to a boil. Avo the tzvitz, if it was, les lamba, there's no problem. The harmful stuff in there was boiled out, no problem. V'lo amarin elo de lo shod de beit tzivaya. And we're only talking about a case where it's just the lukewarm water by itself. You didn't put any other ingredients in there. If you did, then those other ingredients will cancel out the harmful elements in the lukewarm water and less than above. Therefore, we have no issue with the person drinking lukewarm water in a metal utensil into which ingredients have been added. And the Gemara brings more advice from Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan said, "Mishenich lo aviv mos harbe." If somebody inherited great wealth, a lot of money, v'rotzo la'abdon, and he wants to lose all of it, let me give some advice. If you want to lose all your money, says Rabbi Yochanan, "Yilbash big day pishna." You should wear fancy linen clothing. Spend your money on that. V'yishtamish mekleis chuches, and use fancy glass utensils. The Gemara will say it means like very fancy, kind of white glass, a lot of money, very expensive. And if you want to make sure to lose all that wealth you inherited, v'yischar poalim v'yeshev imahen, you should hire workers to take care of your property, and don't sit with them, don't supervise them. Just, you know, trust in them, hopefully they'll do a good job. If you follow these steps, your wealth will be quickly depleted. The Gemara explains further, yilbash b'klei pishtan, Rabbi Yochanan talks about, you know, you want to lose all your money, go and buy linen clothing. He's not saying that all linen clothing is, you know, way overpriced. He's referring to Bikisna Rumisa. He's referring to Roman linen clothing, which is very expensive and doesn't last long. And Rabbi Yochanan says, if you want to waste all your money, v'yishtamish b'kleis chuches, then use glass utensils. He's specifically referring to Bezugisa Chivarta, to this, you know, particularly fancy white glass, which is very expensive and very delicate. So it'll probably break soon. And finally, Rabbi Yochanan says, if you want to lose your wealth, v'yischar polim v'yeshi mahen, hire workers and don't properly supervise them. The Gemara says, Targuma, interpret, Rabbi Yochanan is referring to b'tore the nefesh psidayu. An example of the kind of worker that Rabbi Yochanan is referring to is, let's say, the oxen drivers, the nefesh psidayu, where it could be a great financial loss if their work isn't carefully managed and supervised. Like if they don't drive the oxen properly, it could trample the crop, the oxen could get damaged, and the result will be a great financial loss to the estate. So therefore, if you want to maintain that wealth, you should carefully supervise your workers.
You've been listening to RealClearDaf.com. Visit us online for resources or to dedicate a shiur. To speak with Rabbi Wise, call 855-ASK-RCD-1. That's 855-275-7231.